Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. We enjoy your company. We like hanging out with you. And, you know, we are a public service organization. We want to help out as best we can and to help out with issues with the community. We have the attorneys. The attorneys are in and off the clock. We've got Mike Healy, Jay Hornack. Guys, welcome back.
Good afternoon.
Hey, glad to be here.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Okay, the phone calls are going to... No.
That would be fine. Yep. Phone calls would be great.
We'll work on that here in the future, that's for sure. We're going to have some fun with that. But number of things going on. Yeah. Jay?
Not a slow news day by any means. Yeah, some of it's very troubling news, obviously, out of Louisiana.
That is very troubling. My question is where the hell was the chief of police and the mayor 15 minutes after that happened?
One of many good questions.
You know, I looked at that and I saw the video.
Yes.
Okay. And being an ex-cop, okay, I tend not to second guess cops on, I don't do that. But what I do say is there are times when, you know, you get two or three guys sitting on top of somebody. Okay. If somebody doesn't have the capability to get to a gun in their waistband or doesn't have the capability to get to a gun in their pocket or whatever, okay, there are certain ways to react and there are certain ways that you should not react, okay? And I am a firm believer the number one thing that cops are responsible for, and that's protecting life. Mm-hmm. Cops are responsible for protecting life. And if you break the law protecting life, chances are you're going to be okay at the end of the day. I don't know all the details of what happened here. I don't know what the preamble was. But when you have somebody physically restrained and they can't get to their weapon, well, handcuff them and do what you got to do.
Right.
That's just me. I normally do not second-guess officers in the field, but that's me.
I guess the fact that it was announced there'll be an investigation promptly is some bit of good news, but I don't see how they couldn't.
No, if somebody dies in your custody,
there
should be an investigation.
Yeah.
There should be a robust investigation, and a person should be clearly exonerated. Or there should be more questions. And there should be no ands, ifs, or buts about it. And the chief and the mayor and the city council should come out and say, these officers did X, Y, and Z, and these are the actions that we are taking. Yeah, there should be no gray area there. It's just me.
So what about Fox News?
Oh, yeah.
I had nothing to do with Fox News.
Right. And... My guess is that normally it's not a topic of conversation here too much, but this is an employment matter, and this is the area of law that we practice in, employment law, employment discrimination. And just a couple hours ago, as I'm sure people are aware, it broke that Gretchen Carlson, a former Fox News celebrity, news person, filed a lawsuit against... not Fox News, but against Roger Ailes personally, in his personal capacity. From a legal standpoint, just how this came to court is interesting to me, anyway. It's filed in lawsuits filed in state court in New Jersey. Ms. Carlson is a resident of Connecticut. Roger Ailes is a resident of New Jersey. And when Ms. Carlson was employed by Fox News, she worked in New York. The lawsuit, which I had a chance to look over the complaint online, and I attached a link to it on my Twitter account, if people want to track it down that way, is under the New York Civil Rights Act.
Uh-huh.
So you've got a little bit of everything going on here. It's not a Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 sexual harassment case, which you can't bring against persons, you know, individuals. You can only bring it against employers. And also you have to go through the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission first and exhaust your remedies under that administrative agency. Here, 1 month after she was let go, she's able to file this lawsuit in New Jersey State Court because apparently, and I do know the lawyers. These are lawyers who she has as her representatives. I went to law school with them, Rutgers Law School, back in the early, well, I don't want to say how far back, but went to law school with them. They know what they're doing, and they clearly must feel that under this New York statute, you can bring an action against an individual like Mr. Ailes.
So let me see. Gretchen Carlson has filed a lawsuit against Roger Ailes for sexual harassment.
And retaliation.
Ew.
Which is basically saying that because she complained about sexual harassment, or when she complained about sexual harassment, Ailes took actions, including demoting her, taking her off Fox and Friends. Some may say that should be considered a promotion as opposed to demotion. I guess that could be a factual issue at trial.
I've been on that program.
Yeah. I mean, to move away from Steve Ducey, again, could be considered a promotion. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But anyway, eventually...
Steve, go ahead, sue me,
yeah,
please.
Right, yeah. and then was her contract was not renewed last month. So adverse employment actions after she had not only refused Mr. Ailes' alleged sexual advances, but also complained about them to him.
Has anybody else? I mean, now we all have heard the rumors that it's Roger Ailes that insists that all the women on Fox are seated to show their legs and so on and so forth. But have we had anything more definitive about sexual harassment from Roger Ailes?
Well, no, but if there's been some posts on Facebook where they have posts of all the women who are on Fox News, and the photos are striking. It's a particular type. It's pretty much all white women with blonde hair, and what you say may or may not be true. I can't comment on that.
I don't know if it's true or not.
I can tell you that among the allegations in the complaint are that the comments made by Ailes included commenting repeatedly about Carlson's legs. That's paragraph 20E. People, again, can look at the other ones as well. But clearly, her appearance was a repeated topic of conversation, according to the alleged allegations in the complaint.
I mean, and it's interesting that, I mean, this case will get a lot of publicity. It's,
right.
It's high profile and all that.
You think they'll cover it on Fox?
That'll be interesting, but this type of harassment goes on in many, many workplaces, especially in low-wage industries, food and beverage, the restaurant industry, low-wage workers, and very few of these lawsuits get filed, and
right.
we often don't hear about them. I mean, I hope this gets people thinking about if they're in that situation, this is something they should think about, they should at least consult with a lawyer.
Mike, you bring up a very interesting point that in low-wage cases, these don't get brought up. When we come back, let's talk about why they don't get brought up, why the EEO is there, Title VII, and is that effective or not, and what a person who feels they've been victimized should be doing, besides call this radio program. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio.
The International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 66, works with builders and contractors to build a better community. Local 66's tradesmen and women have received the specialty training needed to meet the complex challenges of any project, making them the most capable workforce in the region. From schools, highways, and pipeline projects to casinos and arenas, the operating engineers build any job, large or small. For over 100 years, Local 66 has provided superior service that our community can count on. They are your one-stop resource for qualified and productive operating engineers and heavy equipment mechanics. To learn more about the benefits of organized labor and more information about the International Union of Operating Engineers Local 66, go to www.iuoe66.org. That's www.iuoe66.org.
People are always looking to invest in a good opportunity. So what if you could invest in the future of kids, like a stock? Not the kind of stock that's about making money, but a stock for social change, called Better Futures. With your investment, it helps students like me go to college. My name is Charles, and I'm your dividend.
Invest in better futures with UNCF. Visit uncf.org/invest. A mind is a terrible thing to waste, but a wonderful thing to invest in. Brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes, and you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to, are you? Kids, work, listening to the radio. You're busy, which is great because busy people can't get prediabetes. Oh my, I read that wrong. They can. Should have worn my glasses. So visit doihaveprediabetes.org and take a short test, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Whoa.
The moment my son saw a redwood tree.
It's huge!
Is the moment I knew that for him.
You can't even see the top of that thing.
Even the sky has no limit.
There are some moments only the forest can inspire. Find yours at discovertheforest.org. Learn about forests near you and discover cool things to do when you go. Your moment is out there. Find it at discovertheforest.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
My name is Ruth Rusey, and this is how I live United. I read to children as part of United Way's education program. It helps them create links between language and literacy and prepares them for a better academic future. I figure I have the time and they have the need. My name is Ruth Rusey. I help kids prepare to succeed in school. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you very much for the tuning in. We appreciate it. And in studio today, we've got Mike Healy, Jay Hornack of Healy and Hornack. Guys, welcome back.
Thanks.
The attorneys are in. And they're off the clock. I love it. So my question is, okay, so we're talking about sexual harassment, EEOC, Title VII. You know, if you do not have the wherewithal to retain an attorney, your EEOC is a very long, deliberative process, often under-resourced, under-manpowered, perhaps even politically by design. So that may not be a road, but if you are, let's say, a young single mother with not many resources, and you have been sexually harassed and you have no recourse, I mean, through EEOC, through your HR department, you know, what is it that you can do to protect yourself?
Yeah, we actually would suggest a couple of things. And one of the things that is of concern is a lot of low-wage workers, restaurant,
it's rampant.
Food and beverage, healthcare, don't feel they can come forward. They're afraid they're going to lose their jobs if they come forward. The thing we would suggest people do minimally is you have a right to go to the EEOC without a lawyer. The process is time-consuming and can be very frustrating. In most cities, there are lawyers that will consult with you on these cases and let you know if you have a case to proceed on. I would encourage people to call to see that. They can call the 800 number at our firm. If you're not in the Pittsburgh area, we can get you to lawyers in other parts of the country. But hopefully the recent filing in Gretchen Carlson's case will encourage other women to think about it. Listen, is there something I can do? I'd like to tell you that there are a lot of employment lawyers out there ready to take these cases.
Pro bono.
But unfortunately, there's a dearth of lawyers willing to take these cases on. But give a call. We can, in some of these situations, either we can help or get you to someone who can help.
Jake, just before we go, I mean, when it comes to the punitive phase on this, is there a punitive phase in these cases?
Well, there are, in sexual harassment cases, the potential for punitive damages that would require some, you know, knowing reckless indifference to right. You know, it's fact
difficult
specific,
to prove.
But
difficult to prove.
But they're difficult to prove. They're difficult to prove. And it's not something, you see, when you go to the EEOC, which by law you generally have to go to, again, unless you've got some creative lawyers who can find a way to get it to a court before going to the EEOC, like in this instance, filing it against an individual. But if it's against the employer, you have to go to the EEOC first, and they always try, in the first instance, to get the parties to come to some agreement to try to mediate the dispute. And at that stage, the issue of punitive damages is never on the table. You know, at the most, you're talking about, you know, a small portion of lost wages or, you know, some other minimal amount to compensate for harm. But in order to get truly, you know, damages that are punishment for egregious behavior, you've got to take it beyond the EEOC, take it into federal court, where again, they'll try to mediate the dispute. And if you survive various motions and go to trial, maybe then you'll be able to get punitive damages months, not just months, you know, years down the road.
What about civil litigation?
Well, civil litigation is going to court. The one thing you have a potential of in court when you go to court in these cases is if you've lost wages, you can get back pay, perhaps front, what we call front pay. Perhaps you can get compensatory damages, emotional suffering and things like that. And if the conduct is really egregious, you have the prospect of punitive damages. And in terms of attorneys, if attorneys win these cases, there's fee petitions that mm-hmm. require the losing party in federal court under certain statutes to pay the attorney's fees. So there is a way to do the cases, even if someone is without resources. So people should at least call and inquire. I mean, I'm sure when people see this, there's going to be a lot of people out there sitting, hey, I went through this. Is there something I can do? People should at least ask the questions and just don't think, well, I have no money, so I can't do this.
Yeah, in terms of civil litigation, you might be thinking like a personal injury action, a tort,
right,
like assault and battery. And again, in the most egregious of cases where there's physical touching, you know, you might actually be able to bring those types of lawsuits as well against an individual. There are no allegations of this type in the Carlson v. Ailes case, but that's a potential type of lawsuit. But this burden of proof is very high in those cases. It's with employment discrimination, if it's a coworker that's doing the harassing, the general rule is that you have to make a complaint to HR and give them an opportunity to investigate. And if they either ignore the complaint or don't do enough and it continues, then you've got a good case against the employer. If it's a supervisor, then they're basically responsible for whatever
right.
happens.
And this is also an issue that comes up in the union setting, collective bargaining setting, where workers are faced with sexual harassment. The union can file grievances over that,
mm-hmm.
can pursue certain remedies.
Right.
And that's a partial remedy, but unions that are on the ball on this stuff can really nip a lot of this stuff in the bud. And we've
right.
had several situations in the area where supervisors found themselves without work after engaging in this conduct.
Absolutely. And rightfully so.
Yeah.
And rightfully so. And, you know, so that's a good thing. So, you know, on face value, how long do you think that this case is going to take to find a remedy?
Well, like
27 years.
No. I mean, in this case involving very high-profile lawsuit, it's very likely that the parties will come to some confidential agreement and we really won't know the terms to it. I mean, that's generally what happens in those types of cases, that ultimately they settle for money. Now, you know, I don't know, you know, Ms. Carlson may really want more than that. And her lawyers may try to get something more. I mean, you can't generally, as a legal matter, you know, get somebody fired from a job as a remedy. But sometimes the reality is, as Mike was alluding to, is that sometimes that's sort of what happens behind the scenes, is that somebody
right.
steps down and it's never clearly said that it was, you know, one happened because of the other. But sometimes that can happen.
Roger Ailes.
Roger Ailes.
Out there panning for change.
That's right.
I'm shocked.
I'm surprised. An organization like Fox News, that a lot. Yeah.
And high-profile defendants in many cases like that, as a case gets litigated, more and more facts come out that even when the plaintiffs filed the lawsuits, they didn't know about. So high-profile defendants tend to have a motivation to try to settle these cases sooner rather than later to avoid because more stuff coming out.
Roger doesn't want Mrs. Ailes knowing what.
Well, there might be, you know, there's an old saying, where there's smoke, there's fire. And when you file a lawsuit in federal court, you've got to have sufficient facts to back up your claims. But after you file the suit, they file an answer. There's a discovery process in which almost always additional facts and information comes out.
Plus, there's also one on-air personality, Steve Doocy, who's prominently part of this lawsuit and allegations that he engaged in discriminatory conduct. And, you know, if that's out there and he's still on the air, Fox News doesn't want that.
No. Doesn't look good.
Doesn't look good.
Doesn't look good.
Bad visuals.
Bad.
We could say that on bad the radio, right?
Yeah, bad juju. Yeah. So, guys, if somebody has a question or, you know, they want maybe some clarification, how do they get a hold of you?
Well, you can reach us through the website, which is unionlawyers.net. And we also have a toll-free number, as Mike mentioned earlier. That's 1-888-391-6944. We're based in Pittsburgh, PA. But as Mike mentioned, if you have an issue involving, well, if it's a federal law issue, that's the same in every state. But if you've got an issue involving outside Pennsylvania, we can help you find another lawyer who does work in that area.
There you go. Can Roger give you guys a call and see if
we generally
Roger
do not handle
give us a call.
Right. We generally don't represent employers.
Though. Yeah, there you go. It's a wonderful
nor
thing.
Or Fox News.
Or Fox News. Yeah, it's a wonderful thing. Well, guys, you know, I got to tell you, it's always exciting to have you here. We're having fun, that's for sure. But we're looking at the news and what do you think is going to be the big thing next week, Jay?
Well, we were talking off the air a little bit about what's happening in Cleveland and Philadelphia here and some of the potential civil liberty issues that could arise.
A couple things going on. I mean, we're gearing up to do a lot of election protection work over the next period of time because we're anticipating issues. And also around both the Republican and Democratic National Conventions, there's a number of civil liberties issues popping up. There's permitting issues, demonstration issues. There have been lawsuits filed. The ACLU's already won a couple lawsuits in both Philly and Cleveland, which have kind of opened things up a little bit.
Would that be the free speech cage?
No, there's not going to be a free speech cage. Oh. There will be permits issued. There have been people who have been active who are getting visits from the FBI, and people are wondering, what do I do in that situation?
So tell the truth.
So all you got to do is tell the truth. You don't have to talk to them. Usually the FBI agents are cordial, so you can choose to talk to them or not talk to them or get their information and talk to a lawyer first. The one thing you don't do, if you do talk to them, whatever you do, don't tell a lie. Even if you're not under oath, lying to a federal officer is a felony, and that's how a lot of people have gotten themselves in a lot of trouble.
Right, right, right. So say thanks, guys. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you, Charles. Good to be
always
here.
Always a pleasure. And in the meantime, folks, I'm Charles Showalter, and you're listening to The Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio.